Welcome back. 8 o'clock hour, after hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden, producing the operation. People want to know about the top 10. Where are the Texans, they say? Text line says, where's the Texans? They're 8th. They actually like the Texans better than the Commanders, which Washington's better. They made the NFC title game. And it's a pretty good division they're in. Put the Broncos at 7, though. It's comical.
It's a lot of belief in Bo Nix.
And you're not counting for the sophomore slump that does happen. I know C.J. Stroud still got him to the promised land, but he wasn't as good as he was in his first year. And I'm surprised the Rams got as much run at 13, considering
that's strictly.
I love Stafford, but Stafford finally threw the ball the other day. He threw like 60 passes. Like that team goes how he goes, and he's not playing for 10 more years.
Yeah, if you're talking about which team set up best for the next 10 years, I don't think Stafford's even considered there. I think that's strictly McVay.
The bottom line is it's quarterbacks that are under contract that are good. You know, I'll give Josh Allen his roses here and Burrow and stuff because they're always going to be viable because of them. And then you say, well, look at Burrow. He had a great year. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase had the triple crown at wide receiver, but they didn't make the postseason because their defense was so bad. And let's be honest, that defense didn't look that great in the preseason. I get it. Preseason game one. They put the Saints, by the way, at 32. That is the dead last team. Text line was asking who the last team was. That was the Saints, but that can all change with drafting a quarterback of the future.
You never know. They could have Arch by this time next year.
And the Giants were second to last, by the way.
Well, my Giants friend is not going to like that.
And no respect for Bryce Young. Panthers are 30.
I like Bryce Young, man.
And the Panthers spent the most money in free agency last year.
I like the way they're going. Dave Canales.
They spent the most money in free agency at 30th.
Dave Canales is a quarterback whisperer. He got Geno turned around in Seattle, Baker turned around in Tampa, and now he's working with Bryce Young. Let's see if he can do it.
And the Colts, they had at 27. I'd be curious about maybe, I mean, I like the Colts in that roster, but no quarterbacks, man. None.
That's tough.
It just shows you how much you need one. You know, like Daniel, I mean, they're sitting there with Daniel Jones.
You're not a believer in Daniel Jones being the
Anthony
savior there,
Kadarius Tony Richardson that's always hurt. I mean, that's who they got.
You're not believing in Daniel Jones, Bink?
No, they haven't anything since Andrew Luck says, Peace out. I'm gone.
Yeah.
Deuces. That's what he said. He's gone.
It's been a quarterback carousel for
Steelers
at
22,
years.
But things are going to change because they will get their quarterback of the future in this draft.
We'll see.
Like, it'll happen.
We'll see who they end up with.
I mean, I like some of the moves they made. I can't believe this is a glaring indictment for Jacksonville at the quarterback position because Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you wouldn't think a team that had a Trevor Lawrence, you know, where he was drafted, but he hasn't materialized. Yes, you know, he won a postseason game against Herbert and all that, but, you know, Travis Hunter's there now. I mean, I did watch Jacksonville's preseason game because I did want to see Travis Hunter play, and I got to see him play both sides of the ball, which wasn't great, but again, it is preseason game one. The Bears, they have it 18th. That Bears receiving corps is pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And they bolstered up that offensive line, bringing Tooney in and stuff, and they concentrated on that. That might be too low. It depends on Caleb and how good he is, but that wide receiver room there is pretty damn good in Chicago.
The finger pointing is going to change.
Like Odunze and Burden.
Right. The finger pointing is going to change in Chicago this year if they're not good. They're not going to say it's the coach's fault anymore. It's going to start falling on Caleb if that team doesn't succeed this year. And what does success mean for that team this year? Is it 9-8? You know, or what do you really consider a great year for them? But they can't be 6-11. If they're 6-11, year one under Ben Johnson, after Jaden Daniels has done what he's already done, it's not a great look for Caleb and the Bears.
But the one thing, like the Titans were 25th. And you think going forward, I'll give the Titans credit for this. Nobody did spend more money on defense last year than they did, and they still picked first in the draft. Again, that's why free agency spending is pretty bad. Like 7 of the last 10 highest spending teams in the offseason didn't make the playoffs. I mean, it's not a guarantee.
I mean, typically, if you're a good team, you don't have a ton of money to spend because you're already paying your guys.
You got to draft well. And bottom line is you got to draft
Absolutely.
Well, and you have to have a quarterback. It's
Absolutely.
Very simple. Quarterback and draft well. It's what the Chiefs have, you know, continued their run. When other teams just fall right off. I mean, a lot of teams go in the back of the milk carton after being good. Like, they just boom. God, look at Jacksonville. They were good, up and coming, win a playoff game, then boom. Doug Peterson's fired, and, you know, you never heard from him again to this point. But the Titans, when they drafted Will Levis, and I get it, he's hurt this year, but he's not good. And I was shocked he did it because of his turn. He was king turnover when he was at Kentucky. But they still grabbed him at the second to be the franchise quarterback. And it's laughable because of how much time and attention. And he was pretty much sentiment across the board. Don't draft Levis. I know we spent a lot of time on character concerns that don't draft Will Levis. And they did, but I'll give them credit for acknowledging they made a mistake and going back out and throwing a dart at a quarterback, which is Cam Ward, which I really like Cam Ward. And I liked him at Washington State a ton. And he lived up to it last year. I like Cam Ward a lot, to be honest with you, but I don't know if that's the end-all be-all for the Titans. We'll see what happens when you're in the NFL. But Cam Ward, which, by the way, Noel Williams from the Chiefs, he picked off Cam Ward in college when he was at Cal and Cal-Miami played.
We're both big college film guys. We like watching those guys, right? And I want to get your opinion on this because my pro comp for Cam Ward, and once I came up with it, I couldn't unsee it. I see a lot of Jordan Love, man. Sometimes the footwork's not there, but the arm talent is nuts. The angles are nuts. Sometimes the decision-making's a little, you know, it can be up and down. But overall, I think
he's a top 10 quarterback.
That's what I landed on.
I don't think he's top five.
I landed on, I think Cam Ward plays like Jordan Love, which is not an insult. It's a compliment.
Yeah.
That's
fair.
I think Jordan Love's a good quarterback.
That's fair. That's fair. Cam Ward, though, I mean, he got a lot of crap because he sat out that second half of that bowl game. Who cares?
He shouldn't have played in that game at all.
At least he played in it.
He shouldn't have even played. His agent letting him play that game was reckless.
Now the speculation that was hot a couple weeks ago, right? When will we start seeing players sit out in the postseason, NFL players, like a Micah Parsons or something, like, say, hey, I'll play for the regular season, I'm not going to play in the postseason. You won't see it because their teammates would kill him.
Absolutely.
And not only that, but it hurts you in free agents too. Like, well, that's great, but he sat out. That would hurt you.
Nobody wants to bring that guy into their locker
room. But people said that about college football too, because we saw a rash of guys, the good players that are going to be drafted in the top three or four rounds, they don't play in the bowl game. Well, unless it's playoffs.
That's what I was going to say, Bink. There's a huge difference between a bowl game and a playoff game.
Big difference, but that was what people thought. Well, maybe they would sit out of the playoffs. And I was like,
no.
They're not going to. Name, image, and likeness money is so big. And these sponsors are putting so many millions of dollars on these guys. And if they sit out in the postseason, they'll yank that money back. Or they'll pay it back. They probably sign a contract that says you will not sit out.
To me, Bink, it's like, would a guy sit out of March Madness? No. Would a good prospect sit out of the NIT? Yeah. He wouldn't play in the NIT. Why would you? There's nothing to gain there. You're going to play in the big dance, but you're not going to play in the Pop-Tart Bowl. You're not going to play in the Armed Forces Bowl. Nothing against those.
That's one of my favorite bowls.
I love
the way they market
it. I still watch those bowls, but I don't blame these high-end guys that are going to get drafted for not wasting their time and risking their injury by not playing in those games. I don't blame them one bit. Now,
there's nothing better than those bowl games, like bowl season. I know they're not playoffs and nobody's playing them, but still it's fun to watch because you're seeing the future of these teams.
The Duke's Mayo Bowl is another one that
I'm good with that, man.
Always I tune in.
Throwing the Mayo over their head when they win.
If these guys sit out, it gives the younger guys shots to play. I don't see, like, a couple years ago, I remember, I think Mizzou was playing, it was either Army or Navy in a bowl game, and it was really the first chance Brady Cook had to start. And it kind of led to, like, okay, now Brady Cook has some reps under him and he can go forward. And the next year, Mizzou ends up winning 10 games, beating Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. So it's, I mean, a good opportunity for young players if the NFL ready guys are not wanting to necessarily play.
But I enjoyed it. Something to watch. So I even enjoy Maction, man. Like
Maction's so
Maction,
good.
Man.
Maction is so, so good. You find guys like Harold Fannin Jr. where you're like, that's an NFL dude at Bowling Green. Like, you just watch these guys, you're like, wait a minute, like that flies off the page. That's SEC talent. Like, that, it's fun. It's fun to watch.
And also too, what you see in college football, the transfer portal. It's why these teams have GMs now, because it's run like NFL teams. It really is. Because now with recruiting, you have guys in charge of JUCO still. Okay, who from the JUCO do we need? You have guys assigned the transfer portal, and then you get guys looking for the high school players, you know, getting ready to play college. You kind of divvy it up like in pro football when you have your college scouts and then you have your pro scouts scouting free agents or whatever you could bring over to trade the line. Pro personnel guys and college personnel guys, you got both. But the transfer portal changed everything. Even Dabo Swinney at Clemson didn't get a ton of transfer portal guys this year, but he dabbled into it. Last year, Clemson was the only non-service academy that didn't have a transfer portal player. This year, they've decided to play the game.
You have to. You're gonna drown if you don't. And Clemson should be really, really good this year. I mean,
Kate Klubnik's stud.
There's 4 to 5 guys on that team that could go in the first round this year. They are set up to win the ACC. They should, in my opinion.
Yeah, but they were the only non-service academy that
Dabo's not big into the portal.
No, he hates it, but if you
no want choice. To
play the game, you got to do it.
You have no choice now. It's why Saban stepped away, though, is because you have to recruit these guys, and if they don't play day one, they leave. You know, it's not the game that everyone wants to play. That's why I think, like you said, having a GM now take care of that sort of stuff is what you kind of have to do.
It's so much like pro football now, more like pro football than it ever has been. Because that was the big thing with college coaches, to make the jump, or all of a sudden you're dealing with free agents and you're dealing with money and guys coming in where you said to deal with boosters and everything in college. Well, now it's different, man. Now you're having to deal with guys' nil deals and you're showing them the Corvettes and Lamborghinis to come sign for your team. It's never been closer, pro football and college football. Never been closer.
Well, there's reason for those guys to stay now, too. They can make money. Like you said, Grant Nussmeier at LSU, could he have gone and gotten taken in the third round? Probably. But he's going to make more money being the starting quarterback at LSU this year, and he's going to give himself a chance to become a first-round pick next year.
Yeah. Well, I tell you that, honestly, when you look at this quarterback class, I think it's actually – I like it better than last year because I like Nussmeier a lot, Garrett Nussmeier. And I like Arch, even though he may or may not play. Cade Klubnik's good, Mendoza at Indiana. I mean, there's some good ones in the in college football this year. It's going to be interesting. Lenore Sellers at South Carolina, I really like.
I do, too. I think he has a real strong shot at the Heisman.
Oh, I think so, too. I think it's a good bet right now to do it, to bet on Lenore Sellers, because Clemson or South Carolina damn near made the college football playoffs last year, and they're going to be a formidable team this year. Coming up next, though, look at 5 concerns headed out of training camp. NFL Network looked at training camp, now that it's done, the Chiefs are done, training camp's wrapping up, you're starting to go into second game of preseason mode, you're starting to look at who you're going to cut, who you're going to grab from other rosters, but what NFL team should be concerned this year.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks, Eats, Drinks, Scenic Views, on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Hey, welcome back to After Hours. So Kay Adams, right, when she was in St. Joe, and she got carte blanche treatment, man. She got to interview Reed, Mahomes, Chris Jones. McDuffie was talking about how the contract talks have, you know, already begun with Brett Veach. You know, you're going to get him. So they rolled out the red carpet, man. She got everything. Then she went to Denver. And then she's been tweeting about, oh, the Denver Broncos, probably the most complete team she's seen.
How dare she? How dare she?
Well, it's that love. It's with these, I don't know, the Chiefs, I get it, man. They do interviews and stuff like this. They're nice, but there's a lot of times I'm surprised they do the interviews they do, because it's kind of like, all right, what'd you say in the past? You know, I'm not doing, I'm sure they turned some down, but you'll still see, you know, them go on with the haters. They're kind of like, well, why are you getting the Chiefs on there when all you do is badmouth them before they come on? And then when they come on, you're like, you know, tell them how much you love the Denver Broncos. Tell the Chiefs that you'd like how complete the Broncos are when they've lost 17 of the last 20 to the Chiefs. Why don't you tell them that and see what they say? But yeah, I digress. That's just neither here nor there. But they do a lot more interviews than I'm shocked they do them.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing local or something like that, but national, there's a lot of hot takes.
They're the talk of the NFL.
Oh, there are. So Shadia did on NFL.com the 5 significant things to look at NFL teams outside of training camp. And one of them was Matt Stafford's ability to stay healthy.
Of course.
So that's a question.
Of course.
So that's 100% a question.
No doubt.
You did lose Cooper Kupp. So that was big to him.
Did but bring then in they bring in Adams.
Yeah, Devontae Adams. That's a big thing. And dude, Stetson Bennett's back with him, man.
Oh my goodness.
Giving around. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we'll see what Stetson Bennett.
Jimmy G still there?
Yeah.
Still collecting a check.
But again, the Rams are one of these teams that, you know, were real good. They win the Super Bowl, and then all of a sudden they rebuild back up, but they don't consistently do it. I mean, you get a lot of. Yeah, I think Jimmy's number 2 there, and then Stetson's behind him. But
makes sense.
They get a lot of credit, and you know, teams fall. The Buccaneers won, and Bruce Arians was, you know, the cock of the walk there, talking trash. Like, yeah, hey, we don't talk about it like Kansas City. And then where are they? Then what are they? You know, then it's taken a while, and Baker comes in there and makes the team viable, and they've won four straight division titles. I get that, but you're not going to the Super Bowl. All these teams that win it then fall. Look at Burrow and the Bengals. That was going to be a run once they went there to the Super Bowl and played the Rams, and then haven't made the playoffs the last 2 years.
Biggest lie in sports is when...
like, being good consistently should matter more than it does.
Biggest lie in sports, Bink, is when you lose the championship or you lose and you get close and they say, oh, it's all right, you'll be back. There is no guarantee. Dan Campbell hit on this when they lost to the Niners in the NFC title game. There is no guarantee you're going to get that close again.
Unless you're the Chiefs.
Yeah, of course. If you have 15, then yeah, you got it. But everybody else, there is no guarantee you are going to get back in the position you were. There's no guarantee that the Detroit Lions will ever get as close to the Super Bowl as they were 2 years ago. There's just none. This league is so unpredictable, and it's so difficult to be consistently good.
I mean, there's one thing that should be said about the Chiefs, and it's the best way I could use to describe them. They find a way to stay relevant all the time. Like, they don't use the excuses of being good, then falling off, because so many teams. Like, there's questions now about the Lions, whether they're going to be good anymore. Remember, they started making that climb. They get there.
Mm-hmm.
They're taking those steps like the Packers did with Favre, you know, when they were losing the Niners and the Cowboys in the NFC title game, and eventually they won. But they were building on their success and getting better every year. And then so many teams, we've seen Jacksonville do this twice. Remember Blake Bortles taking the NFC title
Saxonville.
Game? And then they drop down. Then all of a sudden they look good again with Trevor Lawrence, and they go back to the pack. But again, they don't stay. The NFL's got a consistency problem. Patriots were very consistent. Like, there's a few teams that stay consistent.
It's
Chiefs
rare.
Have proved they can stay consistent because they're always there at the end.
You got to give Buffalo credit, too, there. Even though they're not punching their way through, they're consistently there as well.
Yeah, and last year they scored 30 points a game with a lot of guys on offense, a lot of people couldn't name.
Yeah, once they lost Diggs, I think a lot of people thought that offense would.
But they still scored 30 points a game. That was incredible. That's why Allen was MVP, to be honest with you.
Of course.
Because they found a way to score 30 a game.
And a little bit of voter fatigue with Lamar, but I digress.
They have the Chargers on here, too. Life without Rashawn Slater.
That's a big deal.
Well, Alt will probably... It was a great combination they had with Joe Alt on the right side.
Well, Alt moved to left, but now you got to put Pipkins in it right.
But Joe was left back in college. They moved to right with the Chargers. But Sean Slater has the same injury as Simmons.
That's right.
It's patellar tendon, which not a lot of information is known about that. But the only thing you keep saying is, well, it's tough on a big guy. It's tough on a big guy.
I've heard that.
Well, Josh Simmons had it happen in October, and he's out there starting for an NFL team now.
He's a bit younger. What, he's about 22, 21?
So, yeah. The Browns quarterback situation, they say, will generate a lot more chatter. Remember, the oblique is what Sanders got today.
Won't play Saturday.
You'll see Sanders. Dylan Gabriel should be back.
Yeah, Kenny Pickett in the mix. Joe Flacco still somehow kicking it. And
Kenny's still, I think, a little bit banged up. So we'll see. But Joe's the starter.
Snoop Huntley, the worst Pro Bowl quarterback of all time.
Yeah, and then Deshaun's making his comeback.
Oh, you know? Of course, Deshaun Watson's still in the
but
room.
He's doing the right thing, man. He's making his money. Show up.
It's the land of misfit toys, and that's really been the Browns quarterback room, if you take Baker out of it, for my entire life.
And for the Chiefs, they say some Chiefs are already dealing with injuries, and that is true.
That's a problem.
Christian Fulton, you know, he did come back, but they knew that going into it, that Fulton was going to take a while to come back for the Chiefs. And then Brown's injury, that's cause for concern. I know he's been running and he'll be back. I have no doubt that he'll be back. But durability, that's the question. Like, how much can you rely? Because having Hollywood Brown here, in theory, man, that makes your wide receiver look good, look good on paper, right? It looks good. Like, it looks real good on paper now. Rice and Brown and Worthy, you know, they're at the top. But how many are going to be playing at the same time? Because last year, they didn't play at the same time. This year, yeah, it should be Hollywood, but Bryce can get suspended. So then you're going to have Hollywood Brown, maybe. And you're going to have Worthy. This is why, man, and Jalen Royals, of course, will be there. This is why I'm saying you throw darts, man, at more than one receiver. The Chiefs have done it just once, and it's worked out sometimes. Sometimes it hasn't. Sky Moore didn't work out. That was their one dart at wide receiver that year.
Second rounder.
They threw a dart at Rashee Rice. That definitely worked because he was number two out of all rookie receivers when he was a rookie in catches and yards, only behind Puka.
Who
the Rams got lucky. He was a third, fifth round pick.
Anomaly. Yeah. Right? Just a complete anomaly.
He was. Third, fifth round picks don't usually do what Puka did.
No. I did see something, Bink, and it was, I believe it was Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, and he said he expected the Rashee Rice suspension to be anywhere between 6 to 10 games, and I thought that was just, like, absurd. I'm expecting...
I thought 3 or 4, to be honest with you.
Okay, so Jordan Addison on the Vikings, who had a DUI, he just got 3. I couldn't expect Rashee Rice is going to get significantly more than that.
I think 3 or 4.
Which I think is fair. I think that's about the right place to put it, but when I saw the 6 to 10, I was like, what are we talking about?
I mean, that is significant because that's your number one.
Yeah, like you can't have that happen.
He is the best receiver the Chiefs have. And not only that, he was on to a phenomenal year last year before he was hurt in the Chargers game.
He was playing out of this world. He was fantastic last year.
I mean, there's talk. Who do you take? Like, who's going to lead this team in receiving yards this year? Because the Chiefs, the leading receiver was Kelce in the 800s, right? Your leading rusher was Kareem Hunt, believe it or not. That was your leading rusher last year, Kareem Hunt that came off the couch for the Chiefs. It is unbelievable the Chiefs won 15 games and went to the Super Bowl without a 900-yard receiver or running back. That's crazy. Like, they didn't even have an 800-yard running back, and they got there.
I think Kareem Hunt's season-long run was under 20 yards, too.
But nobody gives Mahomes credit for going to the Super Bowl with that kind of talent.
They'll just chalk it up to he has Andy Reid and Spags. I mean, a great defensive
Worthy was great. Worthy had 9 touchdowns, 6 receiving and 3 rushing. I mean, that was good.
Yeah.
And I expect them to hit that every bit as much this year.
And they had opportunities throughout the season to hit on even more of those big plays. They just missed. Rather, Mahomes was a little off or Worthy was too close to the sideline. You know, I expect those to be tightened up this year, and they're going to be even better.
And as far as Christian Fulton, he's got to be put in there with the Hollywood Brown category too. You're going to get him a lot, but he's going to miss 3 or 4. It's just what he does. He has never in his 5 seasons played a full season. Never.
But they're also not reliant on Christian Fulton.
No, they're not. That's why they go out and draft a guy like Noel Williams, who to be honest with you, I thought he had the best rookie game last year or last week. He was hitting.
He was good.
He was stumping. He was on special teams. He was doing everything. He made an impact, and he said, all right, that was Noel Williams. That good stud. We brought his college coach on, Kevin Wilcox, during character
that's
concerns.
Right, that's right.
During the draft, and they're saying, can he stop the run? Oh, yeah, he's great at stopping the run. This guy's been a defensive coordinator everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In the Big Ten, the ACC, Pac-12. Like, sure. Wilcox has been a defensive coordinator everywhere. He knows defense.
Mm-hmm. No, Noel Williams looks great.
Led the nation in interceptions last year. He's a ball hawk, man.
He seems
like
a guy Spags is going to have a lot of plans for.
And he'll start. I mean, as far as rookies that will actually start, there's going to be a lot of rookies for the Chiefs that will be on rotations. But the actual starters for him, obviously Simmons and probably Noel Williams. Because I can see Noel Williams at least starting by week 5.
I
think he'll be in the rotation as well.
I mean, go through the history of defensive backs in Kansas City with Spags. Legarius Sneed played a lot as a rookie. Trent McDuffie played a lot as a rookie. Joshua Williams and Jalen Watson played a lot as a rookie. They've even put Najee Johnson, Shamari Connor in. Like, they are not afraid to put young corners out on the field.
So, how many receivers do you have the Chiefs keeping? I have them going 7, which they've had the last 2 years. They had 5 the year before that. But it's going to be some competition.
So let's name the 7. Let's go off the top.
Well, Rice for sure.
Rice.
Worthy.
Hollywood.
Brown. Jalen.
Mm-hmm.
Juju.
Yep.
And then it comes down to, I think, 3 for 2 spots. It comes down to Tyquan Thornton, Nico Remijo, and Brownlee now has put himself in that conversation. Mm-hmm. But I think he's maybe the odd man out of that because Tyquan Thornton they really like. That 4.28 speed, they trust him. Reed's mentioned him several times, so is Patrick Mahomes. He was in New England, 50th pick in the draft, second rounder. But he learned from Matthew Slater, both as a player and a coach for them. He's a 10-time Pro Bowler from New England. He's Mr. Special Teams, Mr. Gunner.
He is, yeah.
And that's what Tyquan's doing. He's the gunner, for him. So he'll be on special teams. Dave Tobe has an influence there at 6 and 7 as far as the receivers. Nico Remigio, like, Brownlee caught that touchdown. Everybody's like, oh, man, look at that. And then Nico was like, hold my beer. Yeah. And he goes 48 yards on
a
return.
Return here.
But Tobe kept talking about him and keeps talking about him. He's getting better and better. And Nico had 3 returns for touchdowns back at Fresno State. I think he's on.
I think he is,
because
too.
Of special teams and return, because returns are so important, because bringing the ball to 35 instead of 30. But I think Tyquan gets on this team, too.
I agree.
Nate Taylor a couple weeks ago said it's a wrap. He thinks he's on it.
I think Tyquan is going to make the roster. I think right now, if you ask me, Brownlee's probably the odd man out. It's kind of funny we don't even mention Sky Moore. He's definitely he's not even in conversation.
I think 2 players that people know won't be on this team anymore. Sky Moore is one of them, and Josh Williams is the other. Josh Williams had his chance last year. He was the fourth round pick. Jalen Watson was the seventh. Jalen Watson was basically better. That's why he played over him. But Josh has started a handful of games with the Chiefs. He is 6'3". I do believe out of those guys, he could garner a seventh round pick from somebody in a trade. Like, that team's going to wait for Sky to be cut.
Sky's cut. There's no world where Sky makes the roster.
Do they keep four tight ends?
Well, Kelsey, Gray, for Wiley, those three you'd have to assume. And then we both agree I think they keep Tonyan. So
I think Tonyan, and I like Wiley a lot. But Tonyan's, man, it's...
I think they do keep four.
It's hard to go away from him. Now, as far as corners, I've got McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Fulton, Noah Williams, Nazi Johnson, which I think makes the team. And then I think Chris Roland Wallace has put him on his team, too.
So you don't think they keep Josh back. Williams?
No, I don't. So that's my six corners I think they keep.
The only thing I'd probably change is I think they do keep Joshua Williams. But, yeah, everyone else you said makes total sense.
Makes total sense. Coming up next, though, Patrick Mahomes said something interesting the other day. And he didn't say, well, it's going to be the best team ever, but has a chance to be. Is it? Is this roster better than it was last year? We'll explain that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Jackson Ogden. Do you think this is the best team ever? Hey, hold that thought. Text line 913-586-7965. Not the best team ever, but the best Chiefs team ever. As I mentioned last year, they won 15. It was definitely not the best Chiefs team ever, but what they did was win a division by four games in a division that had three playoff teams. Can they get better from that? Yes. Can this roster get better than it was last year? 100% it can get better at. Most teams falter with seasons like that. Most teams falter that are 9-6 on Christmas Day and get beat by a bad Raiders team like the Chiefs did 2 years ago when they fell to 9-6. I think people forget the Chiefs were only 9-6 2 years ago at that point. Then they just go off and rattle off and win their second straight Super Bowl in unreal fashion. But can they get better? This is what Mahomes said to Kay Adams.
What would the word be to describe the personality of this team? I'm hoping to hear fun because you said that was the key to this team.
No, it's been a lot of fun out here in St. Joe's. You know, it's competition. I mean, we've been getting after it, offense and defense. Special teams have been doing a great job. I think guys are hungry, that breeds excellence. And I think that all that competition that we're doing every single day is doing that.
Do you think this is the best team you've had with the Chiefs?
I think we have a chance to be. I always think we have the talent. We have the talent to be the best team that we have, but you got to go out there and prove it. And until we prove it, I'm not going to say we're the best. But if we go out there and win that Super Bowl, then we can say we're the best one.
See, it's not definitively saying it. So you got to prove it. Because, of course, you do. You can say you're good, but you got to go prove it, right? Titans thought they were going to be a hell of a lot better than they were last year, but they didn't prove anything. Now, can they be? Now, you heard him there that they win the Super Bowl and everything. Can it be the best team ever that they've had? And I think there's several factors you have to look at. Because I do think other teams are getting better. And when you've been good for so long, teams kind of earmark why you're good. They look at the reasons. They'll be watching the Chiefs Kingdom that's coming up. Why is this team so damn good? Why can't we beat them? Everybody, you know, makes fun of them and talks about the officials and all this, but yet they keep winning. Josh Allen keeps trying, but he's 0-4 against the Chiefs as they keep spanking him down. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. You know, just can't hold them jock. I mean, well, why can't they do it? Now, in the draft, I looked at these teams. You know, instead of like two teams that grabbed running backs, I looked at the Broncos and they drafted Jahdae Barron, the corner from Texas. And I was like, okay, that makes sense because he's going to be opposite side of Patrick Surtain. If there's one way you want to slow, why are the Chiefs good? They're good because of Mahomes. How do we slow him? Well, you get a pass rusher or you work on your pass rush, which they have, and you try to shut him down with corners, right? Those are the two areas you work the best. So I think they did it best. Now, can they be better? I'll say this, they're not going to be at first with a suspension looming for Rice and with Browns. Hopefully he's back. But if all healthy, can they be? Because his defense has been damn good. I mean, you're thinking about, you know, top four in scoring defense, two the year before. I think they'll get better at sacks. They slipped 18th in total sacks last year. But the two previous years when they won back-to-back Super Bowls, they were number two in the NFL in sacks. It wasn't always by the traditional way either. There was middle linebacker blitzes, secondary blitzes. Spags just made it work. But they were number two in the NFL in sacks. They slipped back to 18th. And you know what? I think that hurts your secondary. I think that's why you're 22nd against the pass when you're not getting to the quarterback. I think those things go hand in hand. Can they get better there? Yeah. Do I like the makeup of this defense? I love this defensive line, the rotation. I love Tillery coming in here, Norman Lott. Yeah, granted, he's got a they got to figure something out about him. There's a reason why they drafted him. He's playing a lot heavier than he normally has. And they're trying to, you know, squeeze him into the zero technique, and he's normally better off at the three. You know, so they're trying some things. But the defensive line rotation, like I like Karloff. I love Gelati and what he's bringing. I mean, he has pushed FAU back to third string. Like, Gelati's come in here and been the dude. He's got an relentless motor. And you know what? All those reps against Josh Simmons helps. Those two men banging heads up in St. Joe, and that helps them both out. And he's going to be good. But if they stay healthy, like, I like what Royals can do, but let's not forget he is a fourth-round pick. I mean, there is that. Juju, I think, maybe only be on a handful of teams, to be honest with you. And clearly this one because he knows the offense. But I think Worthy is a very special talent. And Kelsey came back, you know, in better shape than he's been in the past. We'll see what happens there. But I love the actual tight end room they have. And we'll see about the offensive line. It's all predicated on Simmons and Kingsley. And if Kingsley's not there, Jalen Moore, case of emergency, break glass, he's your starter. But can they be better? I don't know. I mean, that roster with Tyreek Hill at wide receiver, I mean, that a younger Kelsey, I mean, that was that first Super Bowl they won in Miami, that was a pretty special team.
I think they're better defensively than that team.
They are better defensively.
That team, I mean, if you remember, that team trotted out the linebacking core. Anthony Hitchens was their best linebacker. Daron Lee, like, they're definitely better at spots. I think they're better at corner than that team was. Now, are they better at offense than that team was? I don't know. They're going to have to go out there and prove it. Like you said, they have to go out there and prove.
They slipped to 15th in points per game in the last 2 years. And keep in mind, before that, 2 years before that, they were 1-4. They did slip way back relying on that defense, which that's what happens with good teams. It's what the Patriots did. It's how they ran the dynasty. Remember early on? They won because of defense.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, they're good because of Tom. And then they were back to defense again. They were cyclical. They you know, that's what good coaches do. You play to your strengths.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong. I mean, I think this Chiefs team could be the most balanced they've been under Mahomes. The 2023 team is probably the best defense they've had with Mahomes, but this team, I think, has the offense to accompany that defense. So we'll have to see. Again, like Mahomes said, you have to go out there and prove it. You have to go out there and win the Super Bowl. You have to prove to everybody that this is the best team you have. But on paper, and if we're just strictly talking on paper, they have the components to be up there in the conversation.
The thing is, it's the team you have on paper and the team you get this season. Like, that's the biggest, like, thing that makes you mad, pisses you off, right? Because last year, the St. Joe Chiefs were airing the ball out.
Oh, yeah.
They were airing it out, man, with the Hollywood and Rasheed and Worthy and all that. They were airing it out. Then reality hits when two of your top three receivers get hurt.
Right.
Reality hits. Reality's hitting them now with Hollywood Brown. You're waiting on the Rice thing, on Pins and Needles. How many games is he going to be out? Worthy, I think, helps that room because he takes a step up. He was already good. Again, I think he's at least 850 to 900 yard receiver. He had 9 touchdowns last year, but he's stronger, he's more physical, and he's still got that blazing speed. Like, you think you missed Tyreek Hill speed, this dude's just as fast.
According to Madden, he's faster now. He's got the 99. Tyreek wasn't too happy about that.
No, but that's right. But the thing is, last year, the Chiefs were second to last, they were 30th in the NFL because only Miami and Arizona were behind them as far as air yards, 25 yards or more through the air. Because they did a lot of, you know, throwing near line of scrimmage, throwing under 10 yards because they had to. It was by necessity.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only thing that was given to them. And with a better running game, and that's yet to be seen. We'll see what happens. We'll see if Pacheco comes back fresh, because what that does is back that safety off.
I will say this, the 2019 team and
the back safety up, the safety comes up, so Mahomes didn't have to worry so much about too high.
Yep. I will say, the 2019 team started in Mahomes, like when he first started in his career, they had to beat you vertical. Like, we had to get you on big plays. We weren't great at sustaining drives. Now this team can do both, I feel like. Mahomes has grown into the patient quarterback that he'll take the check down if you give it to him. He didn't used to want to. He used to want to always hit on the big play. Now he'll take the check down, and that makes the offense even scarier because they can really –
sure.
Beat you in a couple of ways.
From the 918, dynasties stay elite with defense because offensive players want more money and usually leave and go to their teams. There's some truth to that, but once you pay your quarterback, don't forget, these corners make a ton of money, man. Chris Jones makes a ton of money, highest paid defensive lineman.
Yep.
You know, guys on defense do make some cash, and you pay, you know, Karloftis now a top 10 edge in pay as far as what you're getting. But you pay everybody, but it all comes down to one thing. The draft, man.
Got to draft well.
Just like when they beat the Eagles in 57. It was Nazi Johnson in the seventh round. It was Jalen Watson in the seventh round. It was Isaiah Pacheco, your leading rusher, seventh rounder. You know, other teams look at dart throws for seventh rounders. Chiefs look at guys that could help them. You're only as good as your front office, man, making good decisions. You're only as good as your front office trading Parker Anger for Xavier Ward.
Right.
Your front office grabbed Harrison Butker because your kicker, Cairo Santos, got hurt. And they grabbed Butker off the practice squad of the Panthers. And look at him now. You wouldn't have three titles without him.
No.
So that's what a front office does. Front office does a contract like Mahomes. You start thinking about it early. We got to pay this dude. How are we going to do it? And you do a friendly deal where you can massage the number. But you got to be able to draft. And you know what's more important than free agency? Because free agency then often glean men. But if you do free agency, you do select ones you know will help you. Like Tyrann Mathieu, when he came here, say what you want about, you know, the social media wars he had with fans and stuff like that. When he got here, that helped change the culture of what the Chiefs were because he revolutionized the way we look at defensive backs. The safeties that could play in the slot, you know, the safety that can play up at the linebacker position. He revolutionized how people go to the combine and go through the draft when they look at defensive backs. Can they do multiple things? Shamari Connor is a perfect example. You know, he's a safety, but he'll go in the slot. He'll go in the nickel. I mean, you get to the quarterback. He'll do so many different things. That's what defensive backs do.
Yeah, I mean, 100% on that. And I think they've honestly valued, like you said, drafting corner, or excuse me, safety, but also just defensive back differently after bringing in Tyrann Mathieu. Another guy that came in and changed the culture. I know it wasn't a free agent signing, but the trade to get Frank Clark. He had that dog, dog mentality.
Huge.
He, I remember that year he said, Derrick Henry's going to run over us. No, not in our house. That is not going to happen.
Playoff Frank was tough, man.
Yeah, he's the all-time leader in sacks for any Chief.
Playoff Frank was tough. And sometimes you get guys like that. Sammy Watkins was playoff Sammy, you know what I mean?
You know,
almost 100 yards a game in the postseason.
As long as they were going to be there in January, you could forgive some of their November, October stuff.
Guys that'll play in January.
They have January guys.
And they'll help you put banners up and they'll help you get ready.
Absolutely.
Coming up next, though, we'll kind of wrap this thing up with the Kansas City Royals and the series coming up next for the Boys in Blue.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Missouri. Welcome back to 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget you can hear the Kansas City Chiefs pregame starting at 8, game at 9. Royals will be over on The Fan, 6:10 a.m. So that's where you can catch Kansas City Royals against the Chicago White Sox. Losers of 8 of last 10. Yes, the White Sox have been playing better. They do have more wins than the Yankees. Well, not now they don't, but they did. Since June 1st, they've been playing well. The Yankees, by the way, have a commanding game-and-a-half lead over Cleveland, who lost today as well. Royals sit 4.5 games back from the wild card. Texas, and that pitching staff they have, really good one. 4 back. Royals, again, after the White Sox are gone, Texas for 4. Major, major series for Kansas City. And at this point, they have the season wins against Texas, because that's what it comes down to, is deciding factor of making the playoffs. Not this bad thing about the Yankees is they have the upper hand on Kansas City, but can you draw it up any better than play the second to worst team in the National League in the Nationals for 3, followed by the worst team in the American League, the White Sox? They would have lost 8 of the last 10. Battled Detroit today, 1-0 final there. Detroit gets to win as Detroit's been scuffling. But you get the White Sox for 3. I mean, this is a dream schedule for the Royals. Then they get the Rangers for 4 at home. And by the way, Mariners, another team that you got to be looking out for towards the end. You do have them for 3 in Kansas City, and they've split with Seattle 2-2 at this point. But today's game was frustrating, man. I mean, it was fun and yet frustrating. That first inning, that sucked. But one thing about playing Washington is, with the worst relievers in Major League Baseball, you think there's a chance. You stay in, you have a chance. But I'll say this, man. The Pasquatch, look out for him, man. 80 ribs now, 2 home runs the last 2 days, 9 RBI. You kidding me? Vinny's tearing it up, my friend.
absolutely been crushing it, and they're going to need him to continue to do that. Must-win series against the Rangers coming up, Bink.
Well, Jackson, I need to go eat something. For some reason, I'm doing these shows, I'm going to be really hungry, and I can't cook. We're at the crap, so I'll be stopping somewhere because I can't cook, so it sucks. But you and I are back tomorrow, 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Yes, sir. Make sure to tune in.
And instead of fighting over beating the podcast tonight like we did, we'll be facing off against Chiefs Kingdom on ESPN tomorrow night. For part of it.
Just a little bit of competition.
Regardless, great job, Jackson. We'll talk to you tomorrow night.